You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black Girl tea. My name's Lauren.
My name is McKean. And it's season 5.
Season 5.
It's 2024.
Long time no see.
Who would have thought?
I thought, you know. I'm really happy with how far we've come.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's really fun to be nostalgic. We've been thinking a little bit about, four seasons done. All the guests that we've had.
It's literally starting this in our bedrooms, in our childhood.
During COVID.
In COVID.
Yes.
In completely different countries.
Absolutely.
It's so crazy how life changes and...
Yeah. I mean, even thinking about why we decided to start it. It was like an Instagram Live and we were just gapping so much together.
No, like sometimes I tell people that we weren't friends before we started this podcast.
We weren't.
And they're like, what?
Yeah. The friends were just
they're like,
there.
Explain that.
I always thought you were really cool. You had Black Girl Culture. If you follow Black Girl Blueprint and you don't follow Black Girl Culture, you need to get into that.
Okay, no, it's coming back.
No, it's coming back. But I always thought it was really cool. I think I'd known you like peripherally.
Yeah.
I was just like, McKean kind of keeps to herself. But you seem nice about your business.
Oh, I'm like, thank you.
Because she does cool things. That's fun.
I think my impression was the same. I feel like I realized pretty quickly that I just was like,
it wasn't the vibe.
The general social sphere of that place, I just was really checked out from. So I knew about you digitally, but not otherwise. And yeah, I always also thought you were cool. I saw you doing all of your shit. You were like the first, I feel like, Columbia influencer girly.
Thank you.
I was just like,
oh. Oh my goodness.
Before the other girls became, you were there.
There's many, many a Columbia influencer girly now. But no, back in my day.
No, for real.
But I think we had a really instant connection, and I'm really happy with how far that we've come.
Now. 4 years later.
4 years later.
I think it's very much that. I think we realized, you know, we started this podcast as college sophomores or juniors.
Yeah. Going into junior year.
Yeah, like soon to be college juniors in COVID, nothing really to do but be online. And I think our relationships with the internet have changed.
Yeah.
I think our relationships with the city in which we then came back to being in person in has changed.
Yeah.
And like,
we just got life stuff going on.
Quality over quantity, you guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want to get back to our roots in some ways as well. We wanted to be intentional. Again, we were just really blown by like season 5 as we were prepping this, if you can't tell. But we wanted to think about, like why we started it in the first place. And it was to have conversations that we didn't see happening online enough about what it meant to be a Gen Z Black girl, like navigating the age of the internet, thinking about Black culture specifically. Like, I mean, if you follow the podcast, McKean and I got a lot of opinions, which I think is also fun. For better or worse, but we also consume a lot of culture critically, you know? And I think that it's fun to have a space to do that because we all engage with Black Twitter, Black media, Black culture, and it's nice to have, you know,
our opinions at the forefront, especially when it feels as though, like, I think when, especially when we birthed this podcast, it was in the context of like talking about blackfishing and the appropriation of Black slang on the internet.
Absolutely.
And to be a young Black woman for whom a lot of those like new trendy terms or phrases or whatever were not new, but our faces weren't being the ones that were making them widely known as they were. Like, there was something really, and still, to the extent, I think it's changed a little bit with time and new things have come up as issues and other things have, like, become less prominent, but for that to still be the case in which we're, like, still online, these companies that are using Black Sense to engage with consumers, like, it's just a bizarre place to be.
Yeah.
And I also, as a listener to podcasts, there's, okay, first of all, there are tons of great, we're in great company.
With Black Girl Podcasts. Absolutely.
And, like, Black Women Podcasts. Mm-hmm. But especially at the time, like, I felt so a little bit disconnected from the
this
podcast
medium.
World in that it was a lot of, like, millennial stuff of, like, just being grown in a way that I was not.
Exactly.
And still don't feel like I am entirely. But I am so grateful to the other, like, Black girlies that have popped up and that we've, like, now been exposed to by entering this space. So,
anywho. I think being a 20-somethings Black girl is such an interesting experience, and it's nice to have a space to talk about it in a community. Everyone was really excited by the fact that we were coming back. So it's nice for us to remember that people, that we're, like, not speaking into a void. We say that all the time. But we want to engage with that community more as well, too. Yeah, that's one of our goals going into what we want to get out of, this podcast, this community going forward. Yeah. So be prepped for more of our opinions online, on social media. More of, like, what we're loving and watching.
Mm-hmm. We're putting our cultural critic hats on in this episode and beyond.
Absolutely.
It went from a baseball cap to a cowboy hat.
Yeah, it might be a trucker hat, to be honest. Should we tell them?
Yeah. No.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well, for those who were there, when was this? This was
2021.
So earlier days of the podcast, Makina and I had sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. Black Girl Blueprint did a collaboration with Soho Youth Club where we had some really cute sweatshirts.
Yeah, we made these crewnecks. They were black. Beautiful. Go on our tagged post on Instagram.
You should be able to find them.
At the very beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. But the conversation that we were having was that not that we forget about it, but sometimes we'll have friends pop up wearing the sweatshirt or like someone we haven't seen in a while. We're like, we forgot that you'd bought that. Mm-hmm. And merch is also like a nice way, you know, being able to, I don't know, create things artistically. You know,
about making more merch.
But like, not like clothes again, but we were trying to think about what would be
something that's actually chic.
And something that people would actually, like, wear.
Don't worry, our logo won't be on it.
It's not, like, a logo type thing. No. I don't know. It's something that we're exploring.
Yeah.
But the girls are having meetings. The girls are, like, figuring things out. Anyway.
TBD. TBA.
But, anyway, that's a little season 5. Like, what to expect. Teaser. What's coming
onto the
episode. We wanted to get back to our roots a little bit and talk about, basically, a conversation around Black media, but more so just the relationship I think that we have with art and culture and what the role of an artist, the people who we look up to, maybe like icons, celebrities, people with a platform in Black, mm-hmm. you know, media, whether that's music, whether that's film, just like people who are representing Blackness on the main stage to some degree, and like when they get it right, when they get it wrong.
Yeah. And like what the role of Black entertainment, art creation, film, TV, music, what it is within Black culture, mm-hmm. not with the white gaze as our center, but like for us as 20-year-olds Black girls, like what actually hits, what misses the mark, what like has value that we think we'll return to for decades to come,
right?
What do we feel like we are missing from mm-hmm. our main stages as compared to like previous decades,
right?
So anywho, lots to talk about.
Yes,
we have to read the room.
Mm-hmm.
So today, you know, we're just have a few life updates. It's been a few months. We
right.
missed you guys probably want to know where we're at,
right?
And life has been lifing.
There's been a lot going on, a lot of change, a lot of growth.
Yeah,
I'm like, do you want to go first today?
No, you go first. You started already a little bit too.
Well, I've been living at home. It's been really sweet. I think definitely an adjustment, as always, being a 20-something who's lived in New York and had freedom living at home mm-hmm. has to adjust. But I think I was really intentional, especially in the new year, about trying to find my silver lining. Yeah. So I've invested in my hobbies. I've invested in the sunshine, and I go on swims, and I ride my bike, and I make crafts and color and read. And I also have a job. I also, being unemployed also sucks,
okay,
guys.
Okay, Nara Smith.
Yeah. No, I was literally in my Nara Smith, like baking with my grandma, and, like hanging out with my dogs.
Making Oreos from scratch.
No, truly. But now I have a job, which is nice. Being the, you know, like all of those like unemployed friend on a Tuesday memes, that was total. I was just in random countries, just on random adventures. Now we're settling in. We're like grounding a little bit in time for summer. I bloomed with the spring.
I love
it. It was fun.
Okay.
No, it was nice.
I love it.
Now I'm in New York also.
Yeah.
And so happy to be here. And I missed you.
We're so happy to have you.
Thanks.
We're back to record while Lauren is here.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it for my update.
Every time I see you on Instagram, it's just like, God damn. I want to be by some water, like reading a book.
I'm always reading a book by the water. That's true.
I love it. Yeah. Well, my life like update is that I too am unemployed. I quit my job.
Well, I'm not unemployed anymore. I want to get the record
straight. Oh, no. I now am unemployed. We changed sides.
I thought you said two I'm unemployed.
No, sorry.
I just say okay.
Two.
I get defensive. No. I was fighting the allegations for a long time.
Capital J job.
I got a job. I've got a job.
On the other hand, does not. I quit my job a couple months ago, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I won't talk about it in detail, but like I quit a very corporate job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the hunt for anybody in the job market right now.
We'll see what's happening.
I see you. You're valuable. Don't let these jobs cast you down. Don't let any rejection letter cast you down.
Amen.
But like, yeah, it's tough out here. I don't know if you guys saw that tweet that's like, if you got a job, stay in line.
No, that's crazy. For real,
it's true. I know if your job sucks right now, like, yes, I want to be like, for yourself. That's not the topic of this episode, but
yeah.
No, it's rough. If you can work it through.
It's rough looking for a job. I was, yeah.
Yeah, no. So that's been new. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Lauren and some other friends about this before, but like, my other jobs that I've had prior to this, I mean, mind you, again, we graduated, what, like 2 years ago, so it's weird to talk about a career. Mm-hmm. We're 2 years out of college, but like, my first big girl job was, I found through the job I had in college.
Yeah.
And that job I found through my first internship, and like, took for granted that like organic like job hopping life. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like really in the trenches applying, and you guys,
it's rough. A cover letter, it feels like begging. Like I can't do it.
I'm no,
I'm like, you see me, I'm like, you read the resume, you know what I do, just come. Literally, let's chat. Like, if you, we vibe, we vibe.
Did
like,
you see my picture?
Like, I'm like, I'm so cute, you need me in the office. Anyway.
But no, literally, anywho, I won't even, we can have another day about in which we talk about that.
That can be an episode on its own, honestly, because we were having a really interesting conversation.
Applying to jobs is a fight. But anyway, that's the life I'm living. In the meantime, though, free time. Living my life like it's golden.
Screaming. Anyway. I feel ready to get into the episode. I'm excited to do our cultural criticism. What's a good place for us to start at? I think maybe we go like big picture, thinking about how we relate to art and media and what the role it is that we personally see of it in society. Because some people are just like, art for the sake of art. Yeah. Some people are like, art is inherently political or needs to say something. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you land on that type of debate, discourse?
I feel like not everything needs to be political. And in fact, okay, this is going to sound a crazy way to start this comment.
Okay.
Because I do think that art plays a role in our socio-political state at all times.
Right.
I don't think every artist, especially in this day and age, is equipped to be that. And I'd rather them just not.
Equipped is a good word.
Than try to and, like, miss. So in that regard, I don't expect...
Mm. Okay.
Everyone has a social responsibility in terms of, like, ideally, as a person with a platform especially, but even if you don't have a platform, anybody creating anything needs to like show up as a good human,
right?
And like not be a pedophile. Not like in that regard, it's not political responsibility, but like just be a good person, especially if you are leading any sort of or have any sort of influence,
right?
But I think in terms of art, I think there's a value in I admire the legacy of Black art and the responsibility that Black artists have undertaken to, like, influence and reflect a subculture.
Okay.
And to influence politics through that reflection.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... And I wish we had more of that today.
Yes.
That's what I will say. Like, I do wish we had those huge moments of just, like... seeing multiple Black icons champion a cause and seeing that influence change in real time. So I do feel like we're missing that, but I don't think that's like we're obligated to do that always.
That's fair. What do you think is a good example of that?
Recently?
Or in past that you really look up to or admire?
We Are the World was cute. I mean, this is teetering off of Black art, but like I could think of Janet Jackson making Is It Free Zone about AIDS and like every artist sort of stepping up in that time. I could think about, like, Stevie Wonder and his countless songs in every album that we're talking about, like, centering a voice of the ghetto, as he might say, or, like, talking about, like, everyday struggles related to, like, labor and the rights of those people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know, those weren't, like, huge moments, but I think
they are good examples.
But again, I think, as we talked about, different time.
Different time, yeah, because we were also thinking, like, obviously, the civil rights era, we're thinking, like, maybe, like, Nina Simone, we're thinking Billie Holiday, we're thinking, like, you know, like, when... But I think that's so interesting, though, and I kind of miss that. Like, I kind of miss when music and people were, like, using these mediums to talk about serious issues, present issues, relevant issues. But again, it was done in a way that felt like it was done well. And I think to your kind of point about, like, equipness, I think that's such an interesting comment. Because I agree, but I can't really tell what it takes to equip one... to be, maybe those are just the legacies that have lasted. Also, maybe others have tried in the past and not hit the mark and didn't make it.
I mean, I think a lot of people that aren't presently equipped to be a political quote-unquote artist, whatever that means, and we can like talk about how we're defining that political responsibility and what that action looks like.
Because there's also a lot of nuance there.
Yeah, because we can't expect Drake to be an activist, but we can expect a lot better of him and his peers, you know? And I feel like there, while it is true that like some people are not equipped for different reasons, I feel like here it's the like willful versus just like the types of ignorance matter.
Yes.
Well, because like, are you willfully just choosing to be silent about something that you are aware of and that you have been exposed to, and like, that's a problem.
True.
But it's also a problem if you just like, maybe you just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I see, even in some of my most problematic celebs and musicians and artists that I follow, like, I see people in my family that if I talked to them about a certain topic, I would hear same stuff.
Well,
and so are we expecting them to be superhuman?
Like, no, that makes a lot of sense. No, I think that we're veering a little bit into like the celebrity parasocial relationship. Because like these are really just people who happen to have a platform because they have a talent or like made their way into the industry. So I think that that expectation question is really interesting and important. But I think what I'm thinking about as you're talking is more like, I think understanding what we mean by political and what it mean by social commentary, and how that doesn't necessarily need to be explicit. It doesn't necessarily need to be like, I make a movie or a song that's about this specific cause and has a specific message, but more like a broader question of maybe representation in some ways. I like veer away from that like word because it's a little buzzwordy, but I think it is, it kind of has to be a part of this conversation that because we are so few in terms of like the black media that we see, like the black icons that we have compared to like white counterparts, that when you have a larger platform, you also are given more responsibility with that platform than your white counterpart,
right,
in some ways. But I don't think that necessarily means that you need to be an activist, like you're saying, but it could be more like just like thinking about maybe your community in the art that you make. Or we've had, we've like thought about before the fact that like blackness is like inherently political in even when it's shown and talked about. So even if that is like, I'm trying to think about what a good example of, I think like Moonlight is a great example of like something that is inherently like social and political about like black queer stories, but wasn't like a story of like struggle. Maybe that's a part of what I'm like veering a little bit from. Like there's a way to represent blackness in its authenticity, which I also think is part of what the responsibility is. Like authenticity, I think, veering away from stereotypes that some people
I do think, I think what I agree that it doesn't always have to be a political stance. While we do, and I think rightfully so, call on artists, celebrities, whatnot, people known for their things that they create, be it music or film or TV, I think there is a lot of pressure on them to explicitly say I'm on this side or not. And I think there are many cases in which we do need to demand that of people, and in a way that we haven't gotten, that was still something that was common in like the day of Stevie Wonder or whatever. Or like if we're talking about the war in Vietnam, we know through the music and otherwise like where this person stands. So I do think that's like,
that's fair,
something that's been lost. But I also hear what you're saying of like the sheer decision making to decenter white people, white arts, white stories, in the stories that we tell, can be,
is a radical act
of social change, or can can cue that. Because I feel like while it's not a political thing of like telling someone who to vote for, telling someone what you think about the war, telling someone whatever that might be, it does have the effect of like
changing our consciousness and something, or like the way that we like have our stories being told in our own voices. And I think of that even when we think about like seeing black couples. Like I think about, there's certain black writers and directors who veer more towards like interracial relationships. Seeing two black people in a couple, as a couple, a happy couple on screen, emphasis on happy.
And neither of them are biracial.
And neither of them are biracial. And there could be darker skin. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that in a long time. I think last time, or maybe I saw a tweet about it, but it was, what's their name? From Living Single?
Max and Kyle.
And they were so hot. No, I'm like, we need more of that. Best,
like, enemies to lovers.
It was so good.
Yeah. No, I do think there's something to be said. And I think that's the other thing of, like, it begs the question of who is the story being made for? Because again, the episode is not us talking about what black stories mean when they are perceived by white viewers.
Right.
Or listened to by white listeners. Mm-hmm. It's about, like, what is the effect
for us by us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's, we love Miss Shonda Rhimes. I just did my rewatch of Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte, so I'm
Queen Charlotte was good. Queen Charlotte, but it's like, it's so swirl.
What are we talking? Who is this for?
Everything swirl.
It's to convince it's white people, and I guess that's her purpose. That's her mission.
That's fair. I mean, it's getting black women on screen, but is that enough?
Right.
I don't know. But what do we expect of Shonda? I don't know.
And I love Queen Charlotte. Like, I love Queen Charlotte. I'm not looking for Shonda to, like, represent real black life to me.
Right.
Nor am I, like, that shit is fantasy.
Right.
It really is fantasy.
And fantasy, it can be nice. And, like, we deserve fantasy. Like, I'm so tired of the struggle stories. I'm tired of the biopics. And I think that I'm so glad these people, but we need more. Yeah. You know? I want more. I think, like, escapism content isn't, like, exactly the word for it, but I think there's something really beautiful. And I think about this with climate work all the time, because I think for the most part, when you get climate film and media, it's very, like, doom and gloom. The world's going to end. And then, like, people get, like, hopeless and exhausted and run down by, like, that. But if, like, the what if, or, like, showing us a future worth fighting for, or, like, something that we could, like, imagine and, like, work towards, I think that that, similarly, like, with, like, black stories, I'm just like, well, what a nice, I don't know, like, a calm little life look like. Yeah. I'm just like, we deserve soft life. I think that soft life is important. But yeah.
That I agree. I do think it's, there's two things. There's the, like, being so unrealistic in a way that is trying to appease and encourage white viewership.
Yeah.
Then there is thoughtful escapism through art.
Right.
For black people and perhaps others if relevant.
Right.
And I feel like they both have a role.
Right.
Neither is wrong. I can't be mad at Shonda Rhimes for using white men to, like, convince white women to also watch her shows. Like, I can't be mad
at her. No,
that's fair. But, like, and again, Shonda is just one woman. We can't also put all of this responsibility on one person.
Because there's just so few of us. And I think that's why we also tend to be harder on our few representations. Because you can't expect them to represent the whole black experience.
What about, like, escapism that is socially thoughtful? Like, what does that look like, is what I'm imagining. And, like, here, in terms of film, I don't know, we could talk about A Wrinkle in Time by Ava DuVernay, which is very, like,
whimsical.
Silly, but, like, fun.
Yeah.
Or we could talk about, we talked about Rye Lane, the, like, rom-com.
British it's so rom-com. Beautiful. Everyone should watch it. So good.
But, like, things that are just simply joyful but thoughtfully made in a way that makes you feel as though, even if it is not the case.
Right.
Because that's something that also you could argue, like, we don't actually know what these motivations are. Like, a white dollar is probably behind every choice, even at the end of the day.
There has to be. Well, I think with an example like Rye Lane, I think that that's a great one that of a story that's inherently, like, a black story without being necessarily explicitly about blackness. Like, even, I don't want to spoil it, but there's an album in it throughout, A Tribe Called Quest. Like, that's so black, you know? And I think, again, two dark skin, like, a couple, I think that that's so rare to see on screen. We were thinking about this as well, too, about whether or not British shows are more likely to cast dark skinned people, like, as well too, and I think that that's also very
even in non-all black shows, I'm seeing a lot more dark skinned, like, nuanced characters, like, not to bring up Sex Education, but like, I'm thinking about the black leads in that show,
exactly,
and, like, the nuances that is granted to like what this person can be,
exactly,
is nice.
That's the beauty of seeing stories on screen. Like, I think I'm always looking for diverse stories. Like, most of the, like, media that I want to watch, I want to see my experience reflected in.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I think that blackness obviously is not a monolith, but I think about how comforted I feel when I see certain aspects of like what it means to me to be black on screen.
Right.
And to also, be a black woman, and like all of my also intersecting identities also having that diversity of representation.
And like new introductions to a type of blackness that I personally might not know.
True.
Like I'm thinking of I'm forgetting the name of this film. It's about black cowboys. I'm gonna see if I can find it in the meantime. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It's actually filmed in Philadelphia based on a real group of like black like horseback riding dudes,
yeah,
and women that basically like existed within Philly, like in the city itself, yeah, not on the outskirts. And they even casted some of the actual cowboys as like
characters in the movie.
I'm forgetting the name of it, but
that's fair. I feel like that's kind of what Jordan Peele was kind of going for a little bit with Nope,
yeah,
as well too. I think
it's called Concrete Cowboy. It's
Concrete Cowboy.
It's really, really good.
Okay,
and like a lot of the proceeds went back to that like
beautiful
dying group of not dying, but like
yeah,
being stifled. Like they're being kicked out, like a gentrification.
Yeah,
people moving in, people complaining about their horses.
Those are the types of stories I want to see. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's nice to learn more things about like, I don't know, historical things that have happened that aren't, like, yeah, white savior stories, that aren't, like struggle stories. Yeah. Just, like, about communities that have existed and all of the cool things yeah that they've done and can do. And they still exist.
And I think,
yeah,
while we're on this topic, I do think it's time to bring up Calvin Carter.
Okay.
And the way that I would like to talk about it is twofold.
Okay.
One, with this, like, escapism thing in mind.
Okay.
Of, like, what... Is it okay for an artist to create something that they hope people find peace in,
mm-hmm,
and that maybe that means it's less explicit, less on the nose, less
mm-hmm
chatty,
right?
Or not, one.
Okay.
But then two, can that escapism simultaneously have a political role? Mm. And like, what is that role, and when is it okay versus not? Mm. And what comes to mind is I saw a tweet about Cowboy Carter, because as we know, when she launched her cover, there was a lot of debate about her being on this horse, being very pale, having super blonde hair, flying an American flag.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
There's a lot in the imagery.
It's real.
Yeah.
But then in listening to the album, I felt like I had a better understanding, because I too was shocked. Of,
yeah.
Like, damn.
Cowboy.
Says, like, you're going to do... I get it. Like, it's a reference to the, like, Rodeo Queens, which is a black cultural
yeah
thing.
Uh-huh.
But I think in understanding her point and in the things she said in the opening of the album and at the close especially,
yeah,
throughout, I'm getting, like, the type of artist's politics that she's trying to bring into this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a tweet specifically, and then this is the last thing, and then I want to hear your thoughts, too. But, like, I saw a tweet that was about the CMAs, which just happened, or the Country Music
yes
Awards or whatever. And everyone thought Beyoncé was going to go, because, obviously, we know she was set off by
mm-hmm the lack what happened
of acceptance at her first performance at the Country Music Awards, however many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the tweet was basically about the four black women country artists featured on Blackbird on the album.
Yeah.
And them taking the stage together
aww
at the Country Music Awards and, like, present... I don't know if they were presenting an award or something, making an announcement, but, like, the tweet was basically like, okay, now I get it. Like, Beyoncé would never plan to be in country long term, but at least try
she
to
platform
show
that black
and, like,
women
create space for the people that have been existing within it.
And
then also PBS... After, sorry, then this is after.
No, I like
but it's like there's a long-winded like reason. But PBS also, since the drop of Cowboy Carter, has like done this whole documentary on black cowboys in the history of cowboy culture and how it's rooted and tied to blackness.
Interesting.
And there's been a lot of conversations about like Linda Martell, who's featured on the album, of like mm-hmm the black roots of country music.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, this is of course one example.
No,
but I think
that's interesting
that the
discourse
album is very escapism driven, or at least there are some songs that try to be
yeah
that.
But there's just a lot of it that is like very like community rooted, which
yeah
I really admired. Like even Blackbird as a choice of a song mm-hmm I thought was really nice. Well, what you were saying about the Country Music Awards reminded me of Tracy Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Tracy Chapman.
Yes.
Tracy Chapman's the best. And Fast Car, one of my favorite songs, but it gaining more popularity because of the what's it called? The white boy
who started
it. Doesn't really matter. But even that, just showing that, like, she's been country forever, you know? And she's been at those roots, and, like, all of a sudden this song's popular, and, like, now she comes back, and they ask her to perform. But mm-hmm I'm like, this has been a country classic forever. So I think now I'm thinking more about like Black roots in country, and country has, I feel like I hear so many people be like, oh, I love all music, like, except for country, like, that's white people shit, and then it's just like, it's not white people shit, really, it's something that they took and did worse, but like,
yeah, but there's definitely something to be said about this, like, quote unquote, I mean, in the context of the conversation we're having about the social responsibility of a Black artist.
Yeah.
And I won't say Beyonce's launched this. This started, you could argue Lil Nas X had a role in
that's fair. This moment,
but like,
that's so true. You know, oh, like, my God. To the Old Town Road. No, and Old Town Road was so popular.
Yeah. And people were mad then.
That, him yeah. too. That's so important.
I do think there's something to be said about like a venture into a new form of art as a Black artist.
Right.
Even if it is, one, not new. Mm-hmm. Country is not new, and nor has is it new for Black people. But somehow people forgot along the way and needed some reminders. So, like, what does it mean to do not R&B, not hip-hop, but something else?
Yeah.
And, like, how is that inherently a
political ass? Yes, I agree.
Whether it's, and again, political has, I think the I like, hard part of this conversation is
I like the way that we're using political.
Yeah, though. It's pretty broad.
It's broad.
But it's like, we're not solely talking about, like, voting.
And politics as in, like, something that's, like, driven by an understanding of, like, this observing the state of the world, you know, something that's conscious and driving rather
conversations forward.
Exactly.
Because if to think about that Nina Simone quote, or was it also Audre Lorde who said it too?
There's a Tony Campanbara quote as well about how the role of the artist is to make the revolution irresistible or to comment on the state of the times. I think might be the Nina Simone one. But I think that's so true. Like, I think something that takes a look at the, the world, what's happening, and says something about it, or just draws attention to it again by having a platform as big as Beyonce. Like, this is such an eagerly awaited album. Yeah. People are going to listen to what she said regardless, and she knows that, right? You know? And I think, getting to my thoughts on the album now, I also had discourse and thoughts when I saw that American flag waving. I think I was happy for her, though. I think it's also like a body of work, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet where a couple years ago she did an interview. She like never does interviews anymore. Every time I see them, I'm like, is this AI?
She's popped back
like,
out.
I know. She's getting out. Also, did you watch the Renaissance documentary?
Yes.
Okay, I need to. We'll reconvene on that later. Okay. But I like the journey that I went on in the album. I like saw with the feature, it felt very intentional to me, I will say, and it was a choice of a decision, and it was like a good solid body of work. And I obviously like had songs that I liked. I love Yaya was so
Yaya
fun.
Yaya was standout track.
Oh my standout. I was like,
listen, her becoming Elvis in the third verse.
Listen, when I
are you kidding?
As soon as I heard that Boots Are Made for Walking feature in the beginning, I was like listening and scrolling whatever as it was going on. That song came on, I looked up, and I put my phone down. And I was like, run that shit back. When they're like, hello, Beyonce, I can't wait for her to.
No, literally.
Beyonce. No, she had me. She had me with that. But yeah, there were some other great tracks on there. I'm curious where she's gonna go next. You think she's gonna rock?
Some might argue this is her rock album. And I would agree to a degree. So? Yaya is a rock song.
I need to
I mean, it's so many genres.
It's so like, many genres.
We're getting...
It's like... She's like ungenreable.
We're getting her Tina Turner. She has to perform that shit running across the stage, up and down. The guitar's going crazy.
She does.
Some might argue she's already started her rock era.
And I love that for her. I'm proud of her. Okay, back to our like, within what we're talking about and our responsibility, expectation of her. I think all we can ask of her, because Beyonce is also a person to a degree, even though understanding her platform, but I do think I admire the authentic place that this came from, and I see what it's doing for other Black country artists and Black artists in general, and also expanding, again, there's like this monolithic type of view of what Blackness is, or like trying to categorize it, and like showing history and showing that we can exist outside of that is what I think we're looking for in politics, in media, and I think in showing like Black people in like regular situations, that's political. It is that.
I think. Sorry, going back to Yaya, but to talk as a reflection of the what I view as her goal with this album overall. I was reading the Yaya lyrics yesterday for the first time, like in depth. I know them at this point because I listen to it all the time.
Yeah,
but like actually listening to what she's saying. I think that this song is political in the way that a Stevie Wonder song often was too.
Okay.
Not to equate these two people, but like, she's talking about people whose families have lived and died in this country,
mm-hmm.
who are working countlessly but don't have money.
Yeah.
And like, just want to dance as a like form of relief. And I yeah. feel like that in the same mission as Renaissance too, of like, I get y'all are fighting for your lives out here. I know I'm making a bag off of you, which we can discuss another time.
Scream.
But it's like, tired of being erased. She's talking about history can't be erased while yeah. we're seeing like black.
No, she had some comments. There was commentary in there.
It's the most fun song also no. simultaneously.
Yeah.
So I do think it achieves the whole like debate, not debate, but like question we've been raising of like, is it always escapism versus political involvement? Mm-hmm. Commentary something,
and sometimes it's both,
and it can very well be both, both in the ways that like all of these things we've talked about, Rylane, mm-hmm. Cowboy Carter,
yeah,
all these pieces of art mm-hmm. in isolation do play a role even when they're silly and yeah. fun.
I agree.
Obviously the role is it varies the degree to which something is explicit, and I think there's a role for both of those things, and sometimes it is either or, which is unfortunate.
I agree.
I don't know, I mean, Cowboy Carter, big fan.
Big
constantly
fan.
Having new faves every day.
No, I
but
agree.
I do think that, like, that song specifically just reminded me of, like, this is some shit you could dance to, but when you start listening, it's like, oh!
And that's my favorite combo, yeah. honestly. And I think, maybe as we tie up, because we've been chatting for a little while, but I think if in maybe looking for what our, like, ideal type of art would be, I do think that art is such a powerful social and political tool because of that ability to have that both. And to, like, almost have people learn against their own will, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like, they're dancing, and then they listen, and they're like, oh, wait, hold on. And then maybe it resonates, maybe it's, like, catchy, and they remember it more. Maybe, like, you can reach people that you couldn't reach otherwise. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, art's very accessible in a way that I think sometimes political discourse and social commentary sometimes won't be.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's a great way to, like, yeah, reach more people, engage the public, and I think finding art... Or even thinking about, like, the type of art that I would ideally want to make. Like, as someone who works at the intersection of environmentalism and film and creativity and storytelling and finding creative and artistic ways to talk about social issues, I think I'm specifically interested in finding ways that are, like, not to bore people. I'm trying to, like, think about a more better way to say it. But I think the ability to... entertain, the ability to maybe inspire empathy, and like all of these things are so different than data and statistics and like reading an article. So I think,
and like meeting people where they are,
exactly,
with something that they won't need a dictionary for,
exactly.
Yeah
I think that accessibility is something that's very important to me, because I think we need as many people to be engaged and aware as things as possible. And I think if awareness is the thing that comes out of like your art, that's enough, even if you don't have like a stance, mm-hmm. you know, like I think maybe that's what we ask of people with platforms. I think is to be aware of their community, to think about their community when they make art, think about their roots and where they came from,
yeah,
to think about, yeah, just like I don't know, just to, I guess to be more reflective and intentional and of the times, and, yeah. and like people who aren't you and don't have your privilege, I suppose. Yeah. Like,
and yeah. the thing is, there's still a role for not every, I don't expect that of every project. And
right.
I think that's when it becomes unreasonable. Like, sometimes we're all tired.
Right.
It is important that you say something sometimes.
Right.
I'd say be consistent with what you're saying.
Right.
But it's like, there's still a lane for ass shaking music that's just ass shaking music, no comedy.
And the thing is,
and there's still
we deserve a lane for ass shake, just a
rom com, and we can we can argue that there's a political impact to just a rom com, but like, I don't need you to be grappling
to
with
anything,
all these social things in it every time.
Exactly,
that's okay too.
Exactly, and I think giving a couple more examples of a theme that we've broadly talked about, but I think Abbott Elementary, mm-hmm. we must talk about Quinta, Issa. I love Iowa Debris Tool. Yeah. Gotta like shout out my black women, my girls.
No,
my
and
girls.
Quinta is a student of Beyonce.
Yes.
Not to bring it back to her always, but someone who knows to like platform your elders and those who came before you.
Exactly.
You're casting Shirley
Ralph. Yes. Great choice.
Like, it just makes sense.
Like, but, like, that's what I mean about knowing where you came from. Mm-hmm. And also just, like, having these black kids on screen showing, like... And again, it's not inherently political, even though, like, some of the education charter stuff is...
The charter school digs are always
so funny. But... No, I think that that's kind of an example mm-hmm. of what I would mean.
No, yeah. Absolutely. I think there's a lot we could talk about.
Oh, yeah. We'll, there are some more examples. You'll find them on Instagram. List. We'll give you our watch list.
Yeah.
You gotta tune back on Instagram. Yeah. I feel like...
Anywho.
That was like a little cultural criticism.
Art, for art's sake, is fine. Yeah. Being a black artist is hard,
it's so hard. We are sure.
Them. We are disappointed by them sometimes.
I know. But
it's weird. But
there's something else that we could... Oh, don't I want to get into that? I just was... Maybe I'll put a pin in this for another time, but I do think there's an interesting conversation about when it comes to, like, supporting black work, if you should, like, support it just because they're black, or if it also needs to be good, and they're like, you shouldn't criticize.
I think that's another conversation.
We'll put a pin in that. You gotta come back next time.
No, it's good, though.
Okay.
Yeah, write that down.
Okay. yeah, as we close, we gotta do our final question.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys for bearing with this rant. I think there's a lot to be... Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. But to close, our classic question.
What are we loving right now? What's bringing you joy?
What's bringing me joy? The weather.
Yes. Yesterday was so sunny.
Yeah. Broadly, it's just like nice out. Springtime. About to start my garden, so get ready.
Beautiful.
For me to constantly be talking about
it. I missed your garden.
Yeah, I don't know. Just
that's good.
I'm happy to be alive, man.
No, true. Times are hard. Things are rough. I'm grateful that I had a good trip. This is my last full day in the city, but I'm going to D.C. I'm going to see some friends, have a fun time. Excited to get, back home to the warmth. Feeling good. Feeling good overall.
Period.
Amen. Okay. Well, I think that's all that we have for you guys today. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. This was a good conversation. Should we tell them what we're talking about next time?
We'll see you next month with our next episode 2, season 5.
Uh-huh.
It's long...
Overdue.
Yes.
Awaited,
requested.
Anticipated.
We're talking about dating.
We are talking. And McKean and I tend to avoid dating conversations, I think, because
our mamas listen to
us. Our mamas are listening, and we're just, like, a little bit private also, I think, as people. Yeah. But we're going to get into the Discord. There's a lot of things about modern dating that we want to dive into. We got to bring chivalry back. I want a handwritten love letter. All the icks, too. We'll get into it.
We'll see them.
But in the meantime, make sure that you keep with us, up with us, on Instagram. At Black Girl Blueprint, on Twitter at B Girl Blueprint, TikTok Black Girl Blueprint, and
we
love getting DMs.
Send us a selfie.
If you look cute, let us know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Subscribe, give us 5 stars.
Leave a little review. Okay, bye.